from KQED.
In many ways, organized labor is the most powerful political force here in deeply democratic California. But the bitter Bay Area transit strike that ended this week revealed a few cracks in the armor. As the second BART strike in 4 months unfolded, commuters were frustrated and furious at both sides. Some blamed the transit agency for disrespecting the workers and for hiring an outside negotiator despised by the unions. But public anger seemed especially aimed at the workers, who some saw as greedy. When the strike ended Monday night, Democratic Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom had this to say.
This has got to be the last time this happens. I think everyone's fed up. And no one wants to see this ever happen again. The people of this region don't deserve it, and the folks behind me on both sides don't deserve this.
So what do we learn from this very public transit strike? And what does it say, if anything, about the image and influence of unions in California? UC Berkeley labor expert Harley Shaken says a cultural shift is happening. Shaken notes that years ago, the public rooted for unions, thinking their victories would trickle down to everyone else.
Now, when unionized workers, in the case of BART, seek to hang on to a good pension, many people say, wait a minute, I don't have it, why should they?
Shaken faults the media in part for covering the BART strike like a four-month-long football game, who's up, who's down, who won, who lost, rather than examining the real underlying issues that affect all working people.
Core issues about what it means to be middle class and about workers sharing in that were really at the core of a lot of the dispute.
As the dispute dragged on, one thing stood out: the absence of local elected officials taking part in negotiations.
This was strange. I mean, you know, there just wasn't the kind of appetite for certain folks to get involved.
That's Lieutenant Governor Newsom. He was there for parts of the negotiations, but with a few exceptions like that, the region's political leaders were largely absent. In fact, San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee was in China as the strike began.
These are labor allies, support the labor unions, have been beneficiaries of the labor unions, and just saw the public opinion moving completely in a different direction. And they didn't want to necessarily align themselves too closely with that because people sort of had enough.
The arm's-length approach of some Democratic allies didn't go unnoticed by Maria Elena Durazo, head of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor.
And we're going to keep demanding from them that they stand with us. If they want our endorsements, if they want our help when it comes time to election or re-election, then in between, they need to stand with us and show what they're made of.
One Democrat who's not standing with organized labor is San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed. He's pushing a statewide ballot measure on pension reform after years of severe city budget cuts and layoffs, driven in part by the costs of public employee pensions.
I've had that experience in San Jose. Other mayors around the state have had that experience, and we're tired of cutting services to cover these skyrocketing costs.
Whether bitterness over the BART strike spills over into other issues like pension reform remains to be seen. One Democrat who's running for the Assembly and is close to Jerry Brown is calling for a ban on public transit strikes, but UC Berkeley's Harley Shaken calls that unnecessary.
Ultimately, collective bargaining is something we can always improve on. It's an imperfect process, but it's better than any of the likely alternatives, exactly what we say about democracy itself.
Art Pulaski, head of the California Labor Federation, acknowledges how tough these negotiations were. But he says unions will continue fighting for people who feel themselves struggling to make ends meet.
The lesson for the labor movement here is that we keep going. We keep going to fight for improvements in the minimum wage, improvements in health care for everybody, improvements in pensions for everybody. And we continue to fight for the improvements in the conditions for the workforce who we represent.
Public opinion about labor unions is one thing. Political juice at the state capitol is another. As the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow explains.
Labor is taking a victory lap in Sacramento. California Labor Federation spokesman Steve Smith says 2013 was a historic year.
There's no question that we had probably the most successful legislative session for workers that we've had in certainly recent years and possibly decades.
Among the wins, a new $10 minimum wage, the highest in the nation, a halt to the broad Environmental Quality Act changes it opposed, and sweeping new rights for California's undocumented immigrants, including driver's license eligibility and protection from federal immigration authorities. That's on top of last year's big electoral successes, helping pass the tax-raising Prop 30 and killing Prop 32, which would have hurt unions' ability to raise political money. Democratic political consultant Steve Maviglio has spent years working on labor issues. He also served as Assembly Speaker John Perez's spokesman this year. He says the gains have a lot to do with Union Sacramento's strategy.
Unions decided that they were going to go to try to introduce a bill package that strengthens the middle class and appeal to the next generation of union workers, which largely is the immigrant community in the state of California.
But where supporters see smart strategy, opponents see big money. John Fleischman edits The Flash Report, an influential conservative blog. He says labor, particularly public employee unions, has too much sway and can effectively run the table on its priorities.
You have this vision that at the Palm Hotel in Las Vegas, the union presidents all get together with a big dry erase board, and somebody says, "What ideas do you have?" Really, they'll pass anything.
The website MapLight tracks money in state politics, and three of the top five interest groups it tracked over the last 2 years are unions. Together, they gave about $10 million to lawmakers. Take labor's top priority, the minimum wage increase. MapLight says labor groups supporting the hike outspent the other side by 196%. Dan Schnur, the director of USC's Jess Unruh Institute of Politics, says it's a bit more nuanced than that. Sure, labor racked up win after win in 2013, but
they're not the only one. Labor got just about everything they wanted this year, though not everything. But the business community, which is equally involved in the legislative and policymaking process, was able to kill 38 out of the 39 bills that they identified as job killers.
But that one job-killing bill, a measure raising the minimum wage, became law. And when the business community pushed to trim California's environmental laws, labor joined with environmental groups to halt CEQA updates, and the effort stalled and died. So while unions are playing defense across the country lately, with states like Wisconsin and Indiana eliminating collective bargaining rights, organized labor is alive and well in California politics. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.